You know, there are two kinds of people in the world. The movers and shakers, like me, Naaman. And then there's everyone else. You know what I mean? We movers and shakers, we make things happen. Shake things up, change things. We're the ones with the real power in the world. Oh, the papers may sometimes tell you otherwise. All those weeping sportsmen on the front pages. Losers, the lot of them. Face it, usually it's a winner like me, the main feature in a report of another great victory from the battlefield. And you know, kings especially prize their military generals if they're really good, really successful ones, because they know the truth. It's where their own power usually comes from, their military might. And those presidents and kings, they'd do anything for their best generals. At least, that's how my king felt about me. Understandably, as it happens, because they don't come much better than me. Let me tell you, it felt pretty good to be the king's star general. A celebrity driving round the kingdom in my big fancy chariot with a bunch of fine horses and a really cool-looking uniform, all resplendent and grand and imposing. People were well impressed. I had it all. Money, fame, a lovely home, a beautiful wife. She was pretty pleased with that slave girl I captured last time we slaughtered the Israelites, let me tell you. Yeah, life was good. Well, sort of. The trouble was, at the end of the day, it was worth diddly squat when I looked in the mirror. When I took off the fancy uniform, there was no denying the reality of the situation. I was really just one more leper on the planet. One more person afraid of rejection when people really saw me, or even worse, if they accidentally touched me. Just another person hurting and sick and powerless. Just another pathetic individual in need of healing. But one day, my wife mentioned something that little slave girl had said to her. What was her name? Oh, I don't know. Who on earth can ever remember the names of all their foreign slaves? Anyway, it turns out there's a prophet over there in Samaria who might be able to help me. Some hope, a little bit of hope. So I went straight to the top. The king owed me a few favours, and I knew he'd be able to pull a few strings for me. And sure enough, he wrote a personal letter of introduction. And he sent me to the King of Israel himself. Along with a whole bunch of money, of course. Silver and gold and presents and such. After all, everything can be bought when you live on top of the world, right? So, imagine the scene as I set off. The grand chariot, the mighty horses, with my troops marching along beside, and such a weight of treasure with us. And off I go, back to Samaria, the land of losers. But I was thinking, really, they might just have something I need, more than victory or fame or money. They might have the gift of healing and wholeness. They might just be able to restore me to health, to feel really clean again. That was what I wanted more than anything else. Well, I got to see the king, but it didn't go at all well. That letter was supposed to open doors, fix things, make things happen. But no, the king of Israel, for all his power, he knew he couldn't cure leprosy. And then he read between the lines, and he got all afraid that it was a trick, some kind of threat, an excuse to pick a fight. He tore his robes and he shouted, "Who am I to cure leprosy?" He sounded really frightened. Leprosy is a fearsome thing, after all. He didn't turn out to be much of a mover or shaker, shaking with fear and rage, but he couldn't help me. So I left feeling pretty much defeated, ready to head home. A new experience for a man of my caliber, I might say. But that little slave girl had been so sure. Where did she get her certainty from? I was just thinking about her again when I got a message to visit the house of the prophet Elisha. It was an unimpressive little place, quite squalid really. There I was in my big chariot, and the horses were stamping the ground, and the soldiers were standing in formation, and the carts were bulging with gold and silver. And, well, I naturally assumed that this prophet, having heard about me, would come down and bow down and make me welcome, show some gratitude for all the gifts, and then maybe say a word or two over me, and Bob's your uncle, I'd be healed. That's how those things work for the high and mighty, right? Wrong. Would you believe this little prophet? Who does he think he is anyway? He only sends a messenger out telling me to go to that muddy river Jordan and wash 7 times and then I'd be healed. What? Well, first of all, doesn't he know who I am? It's Naaman, mighty general, conqueror and victor. And look at all these troops and all that treasure I've got. That prophet needs to drop everything, whatever he's doing, and get out here right now and greet me like I deserve to be greeted, like the important person I am. And what about that so-called river? It's more like a puddle than a river. Too shallow to do anything but wade in. I'd have to get down on my hands and knees. And it's muddy and polluted. Not like our grand rivers back in Damascus. Now, there would be some rivers worthy of a general, if that's the kind of healing we're talking about. I was hopping mad, I can tell you. But then my servants, the ones who travelled with me all this way, they tried to calm me down and talk reason to me. Reason! Like taking your clothes off and slipping into the mud and muck of somebody else's river is going to help the situation. But you know, they did actually talk sense, I suppose, although it pained me to admit it. They said, if the prophet had asked for all this silver and gold and told you to do something really hard, like fast for a year or sacrifice 1,000 rams, whatever, you would have done it, right? And you know, I would have done anything to be clean again, to be whole again. So I swallowed my stupid pride, I stripped off the uniform of power, and I stepped down into the mud and mire of that dirty old river. And right there, in front of all my men, I became like a little baby, born again, all new and fresh, stepping out of the river whole and clean and pink, with skin like a young boy, not a sick, leprous, clapped out old general. I felt brand new. New, healed and complete. And clean, really clean, inside and out. That girl, what was her name? More importantly, what was the name of her God? I really needed to find that out because I wanted to thank him personally and to start to worship him myself. I'm sure that's how anyone would react, being healed like that. And really, I didn't have to do anything at all complicated, just admit my pride and get over myself. I'm grateful I've been brought to my senses about that too. We're never too old to learn, are we? And I really hope that for years to come, others will learn from my foolishness about the grace and generosity of the one true God. Do you know that prophet, Elisha? He refused to take anything from me. All those gifts and that treasure I took. No, wouldn't take a thing. That is what they call amazing grace. Well, I'm glad I've had this chance to chat with you. Do you believe that God speaks to everyone? From the lowly slave girls to the movers and shakers in society? Well, let me just tell you that pride can be a real barrier to listening. And people can miss out on what God has planned for them. And the other thing I've noticed is just how ungrateful some people are. Since I was cured, I've made a point of studying all about the God of the Israelites. And do you know, his people have got a shocking record. He rescued them from slavery in Egypt, you know, and he forgave and forgave and forgave. You'd think this alone would be enough to make people rush to the temple to worship him. But I look around and what do I see? Indifference. All these healthy people who've never ever seen anyone with leprosy, never mind suffered from it, are they grateful? I don't think so. What about you? God probably hasn't healed you of leprosy either, has he? But he may have blessed you, like me, with a lovely wife, and he may have healed you from depression or something worse. And he may have blessed you with friends and a job, a home, relative wealth, a stable and peaceful country to live in, freedom to worship him in safety. No need for you to bow down to some foreign god and pretend like I have to. Well, if any of those things are true, when was the last time you actually said a heartfelt thank you? It is good to see you here this morning. I really mean that. Let's praise the living God with heart and soul and voice, and let's really mean it, for he is worthy to be praised. Amen.
Amen.